What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 223 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We have a fantastic episode for you tonight, coming to you right on the heels of one of the biggest TWABs that we have gotten in quite some time, an absolute monster of an information dump, talking about a lot of subclass tuning that is coming up in the next season. And this came right on the heels of Joe Blackburn, I guess the new game director, going onto Twitter and just posting an absolute monster of a thread talking about the future of PvP and what we can expect over the next year. So really, this is the most we've had to talk about new information-wise in quite a long time. I'm looking forward to it. But first, let's get the introduction out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercury, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. And how are you doing this evening, Kit?
Doing pretty darn well, Mercury's. Got some Iron Banner in. Slowly climbing out from under a fat pile of work. That has just been weighing my entire life down for the last 2 weeks. And my kiddo's coming home from her grandparents this weekend, so lots going on in the Kutch household. So yeah, how about you, man?
Same. As I think I said last week, we're, you know, right smack dab in the middle of an audit. So my life is very busy right now at work. Perhaps busier than it has been in quite some time, but it's all right. I enjoy what I'm doing. I have been playing a good bit of Iron Banner, which I'm actually pretty happy with. You know, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's going from Splitgate coming back to Destiny, but the game just feels a lot easier. It might also be that a lot of good players potentially have left Destiny and are doing other things right now, especially after the PvP news. But Iron Banner has been an absolute treat for me this time. I was rocking a three bow loadout with Night Stalker, so I had a bow for my super as well. I've been using the Exile's Curse, the Kickstart Fusion Rifle, trying to get a little bit of that in before the nerf slide in. I mean, I've had a fun Iron Banner so far. And I think the massive influx of information and the fact that we know we only have to wait a couple more weeks to get a huge Witch Queen info dump has helped to kind of relight the fuse and rejuvenate my Destiny playtime.
Nice. I will say that I may actually be giving the Iron Banner solo playlist another try, because my experience tonight in the regular playlist was, it did not go well. I'd land on a team, we'd have like some 2.0 players, some 1.5 plus players, and we'd get mercied. And I'm just like, okay, all right, this is how it is right now. So I think I got to pick my time of day better to go into the main playlist. Usually I like it, but it was not jiving for me today.
It's been all main playlist for me, this whole week, pretty much. The freelance playlist I feel like is a great idea, potentially. Actually, that's a lie. I don't really think it's a great idea. I think the idea of trying to separate, you know, big fire teams and stacks and solo players has merit to it. I don't think separating the playlist is necessarily the way you need to do it, but I've been enjoying the standard playlist. We did run into one 5 stack that mercied me the other day, but besides that, it's actually really not been too bad. I've had some really, really great games. Now, I will say I tried to use Tico's Divination when I was like really deep into like, I'm going to use all the different bows. And I was like, oh, I'm going to give Trinity Ghoul a shot. And I was like, oh, it's all right. It's, you know, it's pretty fun. It doesn't really jive with the whole Night Stalker thing. It'd work better if I was a Blade Dancer or an Arc Strider. D1 throwback right there. Didn't even think about that. But yeah, I tried Tiku's Divination. And it was probably the worst I played in a very long time. I just like could not figure out what I was doing with that gun. I was getting absolutely brutalized. I went -3 games in a row. And I was like, and I'm done with this. Swap back to Le Monarch. And was like, there we go. It was all reliable, and it was a lot better.
So. In fairness, I will say that the bad games were while I was trying to do some bounties and quests, getting pulse infusion kills, and
man,
people just,
that's right up my alley. Pulse infusion,
six player apes, like just stacked on the other team. It was just apes everywhere, man. And there's only so many apes I can gun down.
Well, you know, if there's one thing apes aren't going to be able to do anymore. We'll talk about that
indeed.
In a little bit when we get to the bounce
indeed.
Patch stuff. So, all right, I guess we should hop right into the housekeeping then. We do have a new podcast review. I'm going to go ahead and read that out for us here. It is from Big Pogger via Apple Podcasts USA, It says, literally massive breakdown, 5 stars. The way you guys just go extremely in-depth with each weapon, perk, stats, cones, it's amazing for someone like me who's just a casual. I never really much of a guy to go out and look for the best drops until I found you guys. Thanks for all the good tips and recommendations, guys. Also, the Star Wars episodes are my favorite. Well, Big Parker, I got to say, you know how to buy my heart. You mentioned the Star Wars episodes. That puts you right to the top of the board of my favorite people. Thank you so much for that review. Really appreciate it. Glad we've been able to help you out. Glad you're enjoying the Star Wars episodes, too.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Second all of that. That's a great review. Straight to the point. Hits all the stuff that we like to hear. Yeah. Very much appreciate that. And it's always fantastic to hear from somebody who is a more casual player, who's taken something away from the podcast that is improving their game. That for me always hits home. That's a big part of why I got into this stuff. So yeah, love it. All right. Well, we don't have any major news on the Patrons Corner this week. We've got one more month until a massive loot drop takes place. So if you are looking forward to that, stick with us. That should be triggered as of September 5th. So very much excited for people to get their stuff. I hope everyone who gets something takes a picture of what they've done with it or what themselves using it in some way, even if it's just a sticker. Like, I want to know where you slapped the sticker. So it's cool. And they're badass stickers too. Like, I'm not usually excited about stickers just personally, but, I'm kind of tempted to custom order one.
We've had some pretty good stickers.
Yeah.
I got to say, we've been fortunate to have some very talented artists work with our podcast and make some really amazing art for us. But yeah, very excited about that. Only 1 month ago. Obviously, I'm cheating and I'm using the mug that we already got and using it. Actually, I'll be using it tomorrow morning because I'm working from home. So I'm going to swing by the coffee shop. So very excited about all that. But I think with that out of the way.
Well, we've got a big thank you to throw out. We got to say thank you to our sponsors. So we want to just take a moment to do that. There are 6 of them. So I think you could say we've got a Massive Breakdowns K-pop group going on here. I'd love to
is
hear
six
them.
A requirement? Is 6 a requirement for a K-pop group? Is that
I feel
what
like
it is?
6 is always the number that you see in the pictures.
Because if it was like a boy band like Backstreet Boys or NSYNC, I think 5 is the number. But they have like a special guest star who sings with them as well. I don't know how K-pop works. I'll be honest. I don't know much about that.
All I know about K-pop is what I see on Twitter. So that's not a lot. But I feel like 6 is a number of people that I've seen in the K-pop group several times. So we're going with it. We're going with it. Big shout outs in no particular order to ZenSoCal, ASCII and Monk, The Shazzle, Conquer King 420. Deacon, and a solitary bird. Thank you so much, all of you, for your incredible generosity to us, to supporting the podcast. We really deeply appreciate it. Thank you also to the 110 other patrons that we have. That's just an incredible level of support. It really sends a big message to us that what we're doing is something that has a great deal of value to the community and is something that we need to stay focused on and keep digging in and trying to do more of. So rest assured that message is heard loud and clear. And we're really glad to know that you guys like what we're doing. So thank you so much. And with that, we can wrap in under 10 minutes, close enough to 9 minutes to call it.
That's what I was actually about to say. I was like, man, are we going to go for like 4 episodes in a row of less than 10 minutes of housekeeping? Although, I will say the patrons really do mean a lot to us because I was thinking about the other day, I was trying to think how much time we spend doing podcast stuff during the month. And I think I came out to like with editing and things, we spend like 20 hours a month doing podcast stuff all told, like between Massive Breakdowns and Beneath Twin Suns and, you know, all the other stuff that goes into it, like managing it. So, I mean, we do, it is like having a, you know, it's not having a crazy part-time job, you know, 5 hours a week or something like that. It isn't really too bad, but it is like having a little bit of a part-time job doing this stuff. But I love doing it, and
yeah,
your guys' support has made it possible for us to do it. Now going on, what, we're 6 years? 6 years we've been doing this podcast, I'm pretty sure. And I think we finally got the sound quality to a point where I can stand to listen to it. I don't know that I've listened to any of our first 215 episodes, but I've actually listened to a few of the most recent ones. It's not been too bad, so.
Yeah, it's pretty magical how much better it is now. Nobody listen to the first episode, please. Just delete it from your feeds.
It's kind of crazy that it's still out there, honestly. Like, maybe, you know, I kind of do want to go back and listen to it just because I think it'd be funny, but then I would, like, cringe myself into a black hole and just disappear.
Me recording in my garage. Yeah. That's all I can think about.
Was I recording with a... I feel like I was recording with like a headset or something.
You might have put on a headset.
Like, I didn't have an actual microphone, so I was like using my headset. I don't know. It was dark times. We also used to have three hosts, which was definitely a different dynamic than we have right now. But anyways, yeah. Now we've gone over 10 minutes, unfortunately. But we are going to hop right into the information that we've been given. So we do want to touch on the Joe Groth, the tweet. Kind of string, whatever it is, tweet thread that he put out. He basically told us what is going on with PvP over the next year. He said he wants to reiterate that there is a focus on PvP, that they plan to try to open up, turn on the faucet, I think is the words he used, turn on the faucet of PvP content again, but it's going to take time because they basically have to rebuild these teams up. And what that means to me is probably a couple things happened. One, I have a sneaking suspicion. I do not have any inside information, but I do have a sneaking suspicion that a lot of the PvP teams at Bungie are shifted over to working on their new IP or one of their new IPs in incubation, right? I have a sneaking suspicion that that's what happened, right? It cannibalized a lot of people. Two, I think they made a concerted effort to really go hard on the PvE stuff this last year. And I think it's paid massive dividends. PvE has never been in a better spot in Destiny's history. And I think that cannibalized a lot of artists and things like that who went over there. And number three, I think with them working from home during this pandemic, I think in order to keep up the pace, which they weren't even entirely able to do, they did have to delay stuff, but they've given us a lot of content for having worked from home. I think they had to kind of pick and choose what they wanted to focus on. And Gambit and Crucible were the two losers in that situation. And what Joe has basically said is like, look, we are hiring people for this right now. Like, we are building these teams up from the ground. But what it reads to me is like they had sandbox teams working on stuff still. And they had one team working on Trials of Osiris for season 15. And like that was legitimately probably it. And now they're going to try to get teams spun up. They told us they're giving us two reprise maps in season 16, which is the one after the Witch Queen. Or no, is it the one with the Witch Queen? Is that what it is? Because season 15 is not the Witch Queen.
I believe, right? 16 will be the Witch Queen, most likely. So I guess we'll find out soon.
Yeah, I think that's what their current schedule is. But we'll find out more on August 24th. So we get two reprised D2 maps in, you know, season 16. We get one brand new map in season 17. And then we get one D1 map in season 18. And we also, of course, in season 15, we get the Trials rework, which hopefully is going to be substantial, right? Because Trials needs it. By God, Trials needs it. And then he said after that, every year they want to do that cadence where they're giving us some new maps, some new game modes. They also said they bring Rift back. Hallelujah. Freaking fantastic, right? It's not a guarantee, but they said they're looking at it. But they said they want to give us new game modes and new maps and at least one trial size rework every single year from here on out. That's the pipeline that they want to give us, which is great. It sucks that it took 2 years to get there of them basically not doing anything for PvP. But I mean, hey, it's something. At least we know that they're going to start working on it again. There was a period of time where I was like, I don't know if they're ever going to start working on D2's PvP again. It might just be like, this is what we have forever.
And, you know, I will say, contrary to what some folks on Twitter like to believe and like to say, when Bungie says, you know, we're going to do a thing, generally they're pretty good about doing it. So I feel like there's a lot of confidence that we can take from this. Now, it's obviously a tweet string. This is stuff that's in incubation, you know, like Rift is like, we're investigating the possibility, right? Movement has changed significantly. Can you imagine Top Tree Dawn's grabbing grabbing the ball and just making a run for the end zone.
Well, I can now because they're about to get nerfed, but we'll talk about all that in a bit.
You know, they're going to get nerfed, but I feel like there's still some juice. Anyway, we'll talk about that, like you said, and when we get to it. But yeah, this is some great news. And if you feel like it's just like this is stuff that you expected in the first half of this year and not in the latter half of 2021 and going into 2022, then I totally hear that complaint. I think it's fair to feel frustrated, maybe if you're a primary Crucible player at this point. That's completely fair. And if it's just not fun, you know, if you don't want to play until they actually follow through on this stuff, totally respect it, right? And I think the thing to remember is it's not super healthy for you as a person to spend all your time being angry and salty. And I'm not saying don't give feedback. I'm saying give respectful feedback. Say, I wish this was sooner. Right? And maybe take a break, right? Maybe try Splitgate. I hear it's good.
And you can probably get in now, too, because they spun up some more servers, and now they can actually host over 100,000 people, which is really freaking impressive. That game had 100 players concurrent, like, 6 weeks ago, and now they're at 100,000 players concurrent.
Nice. So,
really, really impressive.
So there's that going for you. You know, there's new stuff coming out, so if you need to take a break, this is the time to take a break from PvP. But like you said, PvE is in a phenomenal place right now, thanks to a massive level of investment from Bungie. So anyway, let's talk about some sandbox changes.
Yeah, so this is, they said that they're going to do three sandbox-focused TWABs over the next 3 weeks. This one is obviously subclasses. And then next week, they're going to do armor and mods. And then the final week, they're, I guess, saving the best for last. They're going to do weapon changes. So we're going to have three good solid weeks of great info to go over for you guys. This subclass, I would say this, the subclass changes are mostly positive. I actually think they addressed a lot of things that were issues, and not just nerfing things that were too strong. They also did some good work buffing things that weren't really that strong. They did a good job of being a little bit hesitant to do stuff in PvP, but doing it pretty hard in PvE, which is great. I think a lot of people are happy about the subclass changes. There are also a few questionable changes that had me scratching my head, in particular stuff with sliding and things. You know, regardless of what you hear on Twitter, even for me, like I don't 100% believe everything that the Bungie devs do is correct, and we'll talk about those. But first, there is a huge win for console players. And really for everyone, actually, but particularly for me as a console player, they're separating the melee actions. So you can default to having your melee work the way it does right now, or you can bind charged melee to one key and bind uncharged melee to another key so that you can pick which melee you want to do. For me, that is a huge win, especially as a Revenant, because darn, I hate those shurikens now. That's the correct pronunciation, right? Shurikens is the wrong pronunciation. Shurikens is the correct one.
I mean, we're in America. We say shuriken.
I know, but one of our patrons said that the only reason he became a patron was that it was conditional on me learning how to pronounce that word, and said, I don't want to do it incorrectly. But yeah, anyways, the Hunter Revenant charged melee, the throwing stars, those are terrible. And they are getting a little bit of a buff in this, but not a ton of one. And almost 100% of the time, I do not want to use them. And I end up using them 1 foot away from an enemy and doing absolutely nothing. And so I am really looking forward to using this in particular. It's going to help immensely with all the Hunter like distance melees, like smoke and throwing knife and everything. It's going to be really freaking great. So I'm super happy about that change.
So I can confirm that the proper American pronunciation is shuriken. The British pronunciation, interestingly, is more like shuriken.
Well, I'm not British, so I'll
think
go
we're
with
good.
Shuriken.
I think we're good.
Yeah. How are you feeling about the melee changes, though?
I think it's fantastic. I have not yet decided how I'm going to rework my control scheme. But I mean, specifically for hunters, this is like something that I think every hunter has dreamed of since their first Crucible match in Destiny 1. Back in the old sub 100 power days when we were all just kindergartens. We thought, hunters, when I grow up, I want to have two different buttons for my melee.
Hunters and warlocks, definitely, they have the melees that are the biggest, like, animation difference and effect difference. Like, you know, warlocks have some ranged melees, hunters have some ranged melees. It'll be a huge deal for those in PvP, but in PvE for Titans, like, it'll be great to be able to run up and punch something and not burn your charged melee on, like, a drag.
Yeah.
Like, you can just punch whatever you want and then save your melee. Like, it's honestly, I think there are going to be some exotics that rely on you getting like melee kills to buff your melee damage that you're now going to be able to stack uncharged melee kills to super buff the powered melee. Like, I think there's going to be some fun stuff that comes out of this. I'm really happy about this change.
It's a phenomenal quality of life change. That's going to have just, I think, echoing ramifications for things that we can do in the game. It's truly, if they did nothing else and they just did this, I would say that's a great change. That's a great TWAB, and I'm very happy.
Yeah, and then as if that wasn't enough for the entire Season 15, we also get some ability changes. They reiterate that what Kevin Yana said on the Fire Range podcast and what he said before, that they want abilities to complement the core combat of Destiny but not dominate. Let's read that again. It should enhance the game's gunplay but not replace it, right? I saw a post on Twitter earlier today that said something like, Destiny is a movement game first. And it's like, no, it's not. Destiny is a gunplay game first that has complementary abilities, including movement abilities. It is not a movement game. People have tried to force it to be a movement game all the way back in D1 with Titan Skating, right? And with Twilight Garrison stuff. Like, people have tried to force it to be a movement game, but it is not a movement game. So that being said, the first thing they look at is stasis freeze, just general stasis freeze. They said that frozen players can now initiate the breakout while airborne, which is huge because that's one of the most frustrating things, that you have to land before you can break out. So that's great. They're shortening the breakout animation and the camera transition so that you can actually fight sooner after you break out. And they have differentiated between the long freeze and the short freeze visually so you can tell which one is which, right? Because right now it's kind of hard because, like, if you don't know what you got frozen by, like, you may be waiting there to, like, break out after a second and a quarter, and then you may be there for 4 seconds, right? So that's really nice. These are all great changes, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. This is just a nice, it's one of those changes that I think it feels like some very small things, but they're pain points. Breaking out has always kind of been one of the more frustrating aspects of getting frozen. And this is just going to make it better, you know, flat out. Yeah. So far now, we're 2 for 2 positive changes.
Yeah, but now we're about to be 2 for 3 because another general change, sliding. So kind of seemingly out of nowhere, right? They are hitting sliding. They say it sounds worse on paper than it is in practice. And I 100% believe that, right? Because what they've changed is not enough to where you're going to be like, oh my God, sliding is horrible now, right? They are basically, when you slide while sliding, it explicitly says while sliding, you get minus 20 stability, plus 15% to shotgun pellet spread, and 1.5, so 50% more flinch, 1.5 times flinch. So at first glance, that does look like a lot. 50% more flinch. Flinch is already horrible. I hate this new insistence on, like, adding more flinch to things to nerf them. I despise flinch, right? And flinch is already bad. I don't like that, and I don't like the minus 20 stability, because you know what that does is that ruins it for me, a fusion rifle player, one of the few. Like, I'm literally using a kickstart fusion rifle right now. You have now just made my kickstart fusion rifle. Like, now I have to spec, now it is no longer an option to get max stability on my fusions. I now have to get max stability on my fusion. And I have to invest in it to do this. And it's like, fusions aren't a problem. Sliding with a fusion is a problem. You literally just gave us kickstart, a perk which activates on a slide, and now you are making it worse on my gun. I would have been totally fine with just the plus 15% shotgun pellet spread while sliding. That could have been the only thing they needed. Who has problems with someone sliding around a corner with a hand cannon? Who has problems with someone sliding around a corner with an SMG? who has problems with someone sliding around a corner with a sniper or a fusion? It was just shotguns that were a problem. This is just like the quick draw nerf, which it ended up, they explained, it's like, oh, well, people are doing it with, people are using quick draw with every single gun. That's why we want to tune it down, right? But it comes across as being like, you're punishing every class of weapon and every type of player when the only issue anyone had was with shotguns. And yeah, after the shotgun nerf, I didn't even have an issue with shotguns doing it because they kill so close, right? So I'm really scratching my head at this one. I'm not a fan of it at all.
Yeah. I mean, it feels a little unnecessary. Like slide shotgun has, I think part of the thing here is that sliding in with your shotgun has just always been part of the game. That's sort of like always what you did with the shotgun. You slide in, you aim for center mass. You know, if they felt that when you slide in, you should be super close with your shotgun to get a one hit kill, and they wanted to throw some additional pellet spread onto shotgun specifically, then I guess that's a change that I could maybe get behind. But it feels odd to make sliding significantly worse. I don't know. I don't really know what to say about it. I read it and I was sort of taken aback. Like, okay, I guess that's good to know. I should be more hesitant to slide into an encounter in general now.
Yeah.
So it sucks because sliding around corners isn't something I really use to open an encounter. It's something I use to evade a sniper.
Right.
You know, slide and then bunny hop and then jump to get across a corridor. That's just sort of like my thing that I do. And I guess I'm definitely not going to be shooting anyone while I'm doing that. I mean, it feels, in some cases, I almost feel like it's like not going to affect me. But then I think there's going to be that one time when I do, you know, somebody happens to be closer than I think. And because I slid, I'm going to be at a disadvantage. And that's a little frustrating.
Yeah, I feel like it. How are you supposed to engage a sniper that's hard scoping a lane, right? Because if you walk out at head level, you're going to get domed. And if you jump, you have terrible in-air accuracy, so you're not going to be able to do anything, right? So your only option previously was to slide around corners. Well, now you have. So here's the thing that bothers me, right? Is like the amount of sliding that happens is not going to go down because of this change, right? People are still going to slide. It's just everything is going to be worse while they're doing it. Right? Like my gun is going to feel worse in two ways. Even if it's not a shotgun, my gun is going to feel worse in two ways when I slide. Like I already run double unflinching for my primary and I get flinched to high heaven already. It's horrible. Now I'm going to get flinched 50% higher than the amount that I'm already getting flinched, which is too much with double unflinching. I can't do anything else. I can't spec into that to combat it. The plus 20 stability, it's like, yeah, I can spec into that to combat it, but now you're forcing me to spec into a build to keep playing the same way I'm already playing right now, right? And I'm not getting any benefit. Like, I'm just going back to the way I've been doing things for 7 years, but now you're forcing me to invest significantly more heavily, or there's something that I literally can't change. I mean, it's just, to me, it's a very frustrating change because it feels entirely unnecessary, and it's going to impact a lot of playstyles that are not problematic playstyles. Like, as much as I make fun of the slide shotgunners, right? Like, I don't think that shotgun sliding is a skill gap, right? I don't really think that sliding in general is a skill gap. I think sliding is like, first you learn to walk, then you learn to run, then you learn to slide, right? Like sliding and shooting a gun is like the first strategy that a new player picks up in the game. It's really not complicated. So what you're doing is you're taking something that everyone does and that everyone will continue to do, but you're just making the experience worse while they do it. It's like, to me, that doesn't really make sense. I'm not sure what type of behavior you're trying to do, because the only one that it might actually decrease the amount that people do it is shotgun sliding, because now shotgun specifically got hit. But it's like, you could have just done the 15% pellet spread and left the rest of it off and it would have been fine. So I'm very bummed with this, because I was having so much fun with Exile's Curse and Kickstart, And it's like, oh, great. Now that exact role, which I was having a ton of fun with, is like way worse than. Yeah. So it's just frustrating. And as much as I make fun of the slide shotgunners on Twitter, you know, I'm making fun of them for a very different reason. I still entirely disagree with this change.
Yeah. Yeah. It just doesn't feel targeted. Well, let's leave that where it is here. We have a lot more stuff to cover on this episode. So next up, we go into some class specific changes. And first up is Titans and Titan Barricades, which I can safely say probably need some love. I think, you know, they've got some utility in Crucible in terms of locking an area down, but the Glacier Grenade really ate into that. And so it was time for them to get a little bit of love. So the Rally Barricade, Bungie is correct. It does not see a whole lot of use. Cannot recall the last time I saw a Rally Barricade in PvP or PvE. But it certainly is more appealing now than it was. Plus 30 stability, plus 10% range, minus 50% flinch on any weapon that you're wielding when you are standing behind a Rally Barricade.
So if you place a Rally Barricade, and then you back up, and then you slide towards the Rally Barricade,
you still
it'll actually completely negate the penalties of sliding.
Yes.
You'll get actually plus 10 stability, and it will take the flinch right off. So look at that. That's how you do it. That's problem solved. Everybody just has to play Rally Barricade Titans.
If only you could throw your Rally Barricade out in front of you and then slide into it, you'd be totally golden.
Now there's a buff for the Titans. Imagine an exotic that lets you turn your grenade into a Rally Barricade and throw it. That would be incredible.
That would be something. On the sort of general barricade changes side of things, there have been a few ways that people have been simply bypassing the downsides of running through a barricade, or the upsides of standing behind one, using various explosives, some movement abilities to just sort of zoom through so fast that it doesn't really have time to hit them very much. And that is not going to be a strategy that you want to continue based on the way this change reads. Barricades, it says, still can't cause lethal damage, but dashing through one should now always leave you with a sliver of health. So it is a great way, it sounds like, to go straight to absolute. Or kill yourself if you're already damaged significantly. So players at high velocity will take more damage moving through hostile barricades. And barricades also now slightly protrude into the ground to better protect the Titan's feet from explosives and projectiles that occasionally sneak through.
Do you think that if there was an exotic that made it to where if someone walked through your barricade, it would kill them? People would use it?
Yes.
Maybe they'd use it in quick play. Right, I
think
I'd use it in quick play.
100%.
It'd be funny. Those are good changes.
I run through barricades every couple of games.
Yeah, I usually do it on accident. Sometimes I'll round a corner and not expect it, and like run into one.
Yeah,
and that's almost worse because then you like stop and try to back up, and then you just end up stuck in the barricade, basically. But yeah, those are good changes. Barricade needed some help, and I'm glad that Rally is getting a buff. It's a pretty PvP focused buff, right? Like things like flinch and stability and range, like those are PvP focused stats. But I mean, it's not going to hurt anything in PvE. It kind of will be nice.
Yeah, I think it could actually be somewhat helpful if you end up in a situation where you're trying to maybe use a slug shotgun, but you can't get right up next to the boss. If you have maybe a little bit of distance, this could make them a little more effective than they already are. So, anyway,
yeah.
What else do we have? We got a bunch more changes to Titan abilities as well.
Well, at least specifically to the, there's small changes to every subclass, but I'm actually amazed how much they're doing with this patch.
Yeah.
Like this is probably the most like universal patch. Like we've had focus patches before. This is a little bit for everything. They're fixing Behemoth, probably most importantly to most people, they're fixing the bug with the Whisper of Rhyme overshield, where it was basically not taking like a precision damage scaler, and so it was making Titans like incredibly beefy when they stack them.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing that they're fixing. For Cryoclasm, the base slide, not even your like charged up, you know, you have to run for 1 second slide, will shatter crystals and frozen enemies, which is a good change, right? Because I think we talked about it when this first happened, but we felt like the nerf to the slide was a bit much, was a bit more than was needed. And they're going to increase the FX, telling you that Cryoclasm long slide is ready. So you now have a long slide cooldown, right? Cooldown on the long slide, but you do not have a cooldown on the shatter. I think that's a pretty fair compromise, honestly. It means you can long slide every once in a while, not constantly, but you can use the shatter, which is a lot more fun in PvE to be using. So I think that's a good compromise.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems fair. Shiver Strike also now gives an extra 25% movement speed.
And that was needed too. That nerf was pretty hard. It really made the melee like laughably bad.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, this is not going to turn Behemoths back into, honestly, the thing that was keeping people playing Behemoths was the Whisper of Rhyme bug. You know, I think that.
Well, that and
the
stasis buffs to your stats.
Yeah, that too. But now I think that they'll be in a pretty good place. I think these were good changes to Behemoths too.
Yep. Yep, I agree. It felt like a gentle touch, a good touch.
A lot of these are like a little tiny buff, a little tiny nerf. A lot of them make sense to me. I mean, really, I got to credit. I think it was Eric Smith was the guy's name that was the designer that was talking about stuff. I got to give credit to him. Like outside of slide and a couple other weird random things, like, shoot, man, they did a pretty darn good job. Middle Tree Sunbreaker, the throwing hammer. They increased damage versus powerful PvE combatants by 50%, which is huge. And then they also increased the time that the hammer will last on the ground before you pick it up or it explodes from 6.5 seconds to 10 seconds. Plus, now that you've got separate melee buttons, you can bonk your hammer off people that are right in front of you, right? Which is awesome. Like, I feel like these are great changes too. Like, it's not huge. Middle Tree Sunbreaker is not going to all of a sudden be the best thing ever. But you know what it is for people who are already playing it? It's a big quality of life change.
Yeah.
And it makes things feel a lot better for them.
Yep, absolutely. And the throwing hammer is just very entertaining to watch people use. I love throwing hammer clips. So I'm pretty happy that I might get to see some more of those. Top and bottom tree striker. Strikers have been largely absent from the Crucible since Behemoth, the ice striker, came onto the scene. There is now maybe a little more appeal to considering going back to the old school electricity striker. So the Fists of Havoc now have an extra 14% radius on the Slam Detonation. That is radius, making the increase to the diameter 28%, aka like a lot. Like, this is a much bigger circle. Reduced the damage fall off on the slam, and they also reduced the slam attack activation cost from 21% to 18%, so you can conceivably actually get 5 slams in, although we'd probably have to pull the trigger pretty close together still to get them all off. But you could do it. It could happen.
I wish it wasn't both top and bottom tree striker. Like, I feel like really only, oh God, I can't remember which one. It's top tree. Top tree is the one that doesn't have the super long lasting super, right? That you can't run around and shoulder charge a million times. Bottom tree is the one. I literally just played this the other day using Heart of Endless Light. And for the life of me, I cannot remember which tree I was on. But I wish that they had only done this to the subclass node that did not give you the super long knee charging.
Yeah, bottom tree super. Has trample, which extends your duration when you get a kill with Fist of Havoc, which is it was very annoying when it first came out, and it's only not annoying now because of Behemoth.
Yeah, it's like have you seen that one yearbook meme that's like the dude is sitting there, and it's a picture of him, and then right next to him is another picture of him but with glasses on, and it's like Jonathan and like the cooler Jonathan. That's like what Behemoth was to bottom tree striker. It was like striker and then the coolest striker, and you know, with ice it's a nice little tie in there. But Yeah, I kind of wish that they had just done it at the top, because I still think Bottom Tree Strikers is pretty good. I see more Bottom Tree Strikers and Control than I probably do any other Titan subclass, I feel like. I don't see Behemoths a ton. They're really prevalent in Trials, of course, because of the glitch. I don't see Behemoth a ton. I see a few Hammers. I mean, I feel like I see Bottom Tree Striker the most. I don't see Top Tree Striker ever.
Yeah.
Literally ever. I don't remember the last time. I think I'm probably the only person who uses it, and I only use it because I want the double lightning grenades for my, you know, Heart of Inmost Light.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, you really don't see the... and you can tell the difference because Top Tree leaves that damage field after the strikes. So I think it would have been nice to see some differentiation between the way that they treated those, but I guess ultimately Striker has seen so little play that maybe that's something that they'll revisit down the road.
Well, it's like, well, what's the reason? Why would you use Top Tree now over Bottom Tree if they both got the same treatment, where they both now have their slam size increased?
Only in
what
PvE.
What is the reason?
Only in PvE would I use Top Tree.
Right.
Where the damage field in certain scenarios would be useful. But otherwise, totally agree. Yeah, Bottom Tree is for PvP, Bottom Tree is better in every way. And maybe that's fine. Maybe that's the intent, is that Top Tree is your PvE slam striker and Bottom Tree is your PvP slam striker.
And then Middle Tree Striker gets a weird cryptic, this change will be balanced out by something we haven't mentioned yet, but we'll say more in a future TWAB, where Inertia Override, now the duration goes from 4 seconds to 6 seconds, and sliding over an ammo brick now also grants 20% melee energy. Kind of wondering, like, what is this change that they're not talking about yet?
I wonder if we're going to see less special ammo in the Crucible, which would make Inertia Override considerably less powerful.
Yeah, that may be it. Maybe the thing is, I mean, I didn't think it was super powerful right now.
It's, I mean, right?
Like,
I don't think that it is.
It's like a Swiss cheese wheel where a bunch of things have to line up perfectly. Like, you have to have a special weapon, which of course everyone does, right? But like for me, the way I would want to use it would be with the Monarch, which means that I have to run the Monarch in a special, which I don't really like. So, you know, you have to be running over the ammo, you have to be sliding, you have to pick it up, and then you only had 4 seconds to use the damage buff on someone. Like, I felt like it was kind of like a Swiss cheese where the wheel, the holes just all had to line up for it to work out perfectly. Like, I think even if you just did these changes and nothing else balanced it out, like, it still probably wouldn't be super broken.
Yeah, very likely. Increasing the duration from 4 to 6 seconds still feels like probably not going to have a major impact on your gameplay, but 20% melee energy is actually, that's going to add up if you are maining a special pretty hard. Even if you're not maining a special that hard, it's not hard to pick up a lot of special ammo. And, you know, I mean, just earlier, there were like 4 bricks laying around in one area where a bunch of people killed each other. And I was like, sweet. did not use it all, but it was nice.
Yeah.
It was nice not to have to worry about it. And that would have been a full melee back just about. Right, 80% plus the recharge I already have just running around. That's pretty powerful. Again, still situational, but I'm never going to be mad about getting my melee back.
I feel like Middle Tree Striker is actually a relatively well-balanced subclass. Like, I think it's got a bit of the power fantasy to it. The super is pretty baller. The melee is pretty baller.
I did see that clip.
Yeah, of the guy just whiffing entirely. And you know, what's that thing where it's like, man, if I had a nickel for every time this happened, I'd have 2 nickels. And it's like, that's not a lot, but it's weird that it's happened twice. This has actually happened to me like 3 or 4 times where I see someone activate that one particular super, and I will literally just stop moving and they will fly straight past me. Like, I don't know, because I don't use that super. So I don't know if it's like, it's hard to see when you're using it or when you're activating it, or maybe it's hard to aim, or maybe they think I'm going to like keep running and they're going to hit me. But it has happened multiple times where I'll see someone activate and I will just stop moving and they just completely miss me. But that was just the most recent example of it that I thought was pretty funny. So
nice. Yeah, that was
like
pretty
T-Rex.
That was pretty good. No, I think it's a very solid option. I always hear good things about it for PvE as well. People like to Thunder Crash bosses because it is quite effective.
And the new exotic sometimes helps a lot, right? Like the
yes.
Cuirass of the Falling Star or whatever. But anyways, talking about bosses and damaging them, Top Tree Sentinel, this is one of the first nerfs that we come up to. So basically, Ward of Dawn, if you are standing... So this is the Ward of Dawn takes additional damage from bosses, right? It's not the player that takes damage from bosses, right? This is the following change refers to the Ward of Dawn bubble itself and not players inside the bubble. Currently, dropping a Ward of Dawn on top of a boss is a no-brainer because it's so effective. The goal of this change is to reduce the breadth of encounters solved by Ward of Dawn.
Correct.
And make burly bubbles a conscious choice. So the damage taken by the bubble from bosses right now is a 0.25 times multiplier. They're changing that to a 7 times multiplier, but only at 0 resilience. If you increase your resilience all the way up to 10, it will actually go all the way back down to a 0.25 times multiplier. So now you can get the same effective bubble that you have right now, but you have to spec into it with the resilience stat. This is exactly what they talked about in the Firing Range podcast, where they were like, look, we want you to be able to do anime shit, but you need to build into that. We can't just give it to you right off the bat. I think this is a great example of it.
Yeah, this feels like a pretty fair change. I mean, dropping a Ward of Dawn on a boss is kind of a no-brainer in a lot of situations right now. It's a great strategy. And you know what? I think most people are going to see a fairly minimal change. A lot of Titans are probably already at a fairly high level of resilience, just sort of by default. And I don't think it's going to be too difficult to spec harder into that if you are running a lower resilience setup. So I think this is pretty fair in terms of it's a nerf, but it's like, look, you can still have it. You can still have your stuff, but you do have to lean into it. And if you don't, then it's just not going to work as well. So hopefully it'll be well received. You know, I think no one can argue, I think, that Ward of Dawn is not an incredibly strong option prior to this change. I think it'll still be a pretty strong option after this change. So,
yeah,
seems fair.
That's it for Titans. All in all, everything they changed to the Titan, with the exception of buffing Bottom Tree Striker, I'm in agreement with. So, I mean, shoot, how many changes is that? That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I mean, 12 changes, some of those minor, some of those major. The only thing that I disagree with out of any of those is that they applied the Fist of Havoc buffs to Bottom Tree Striker. So, I mean, I think I got to call that a win.
Yeah. Yeah, by and large, definitely have to say feeling pretty positive about the changes to Titan. Let's see how we feel about the changes to Hunter.
You know, I'm going to be positive about at least one of these. They're they're buffing Silence and Squall. So right now, the only, and anybody knows this, right? But the only really strong part of Silence and Squall is the freeze, right? If you don't hit someone with the freeze, Squall's not going to do shit at all. And so they said that they wanted to buff Squall up a little bit. Squall is a storm, by the way, for those who aren't familiar. Silence is the initial like freeze bubble that you get, right? So they increase Squall's movement speed by 20%. And for PvE, Squall will actually stop when it touches a boss and will stay on that boss and continue freezing and damaging them. And then they also took Withering Blade and they increased the projectile speed and the tracking by 10%, which is a pretty small buff compared to how hard they got nerfed. I still have a feeling that they're going to be almost entirely useless, but hey, at least they didn't make them worse, right? I like these changes. I'm pretty happy. As a Revenant main myself, I'm pretty happy with these changes.
Yeah, I would agree. The nerf that they got was, I mean, it wasn't enough to make Revenant not something that I would choose to play, but the main reason that I continued playing Revenant was not really for the neutral game or the super. It was mostly because I can get like plus 40 to my stats. And that just makes life easier in so many ways. So having the super be slightly more effective here is going to be nice, especially because it's a one-off. It does last for a little while. It's some good area control, but once you see it thrown, if you don't turn and run, it's going to be on you. And 20%, I mean, Squall is not super fast right now, so it's hard to say exactly how much difference 20% is really going to be in the game. I think it's not going to be any harder to get away from, but you are going to have to turn and move away from it sooner. You can't, you know, sit there and keep shooting your gun for a couple of seconds and then run. So that's, and that sounds like that's the intent from the verbiage that they put in the TWAB. So as for Withering Blades, I mean, mine hit walls and pillars more often than players at this point. So any help is welcome.
Mine are mostly just being thrown away so that I don't accidentally use them when someone is up close, but I won't have to do that anymore next season, which is great.
There you go.
Gunslingers got a little bit of work, not a ton. Middle tree got the burn on their knives increased from 3 seconds to 4 seconds, does a little bit more damage. And PvP, probably not enough to make them really super useful. What they really need to do with middle tree is undo the nerf to Blade Barrage and undo the nerf to Shards of Galanor.
Yeah.
If they were to do those two things, it would see a lot more use, specifically in PvE. But really, it's just a weak, weak archetype. I don't think increasing the burn on the knife from 3 seconds to 4 seconds is really gonna motivate a lot of people to play it. I feel like if you're already playing it, you might be a little bit happier. But that was one change that's a little bit underwhelming. It's in the right direction, but it's just not anywhere close to enough.
Yeah. Truly, it is not. That said, I will say that knife trick, in combination with playing with fire, on a solar burn, is literally the only thing you need to finish a strike.
With Brawler on, too?
Yes. I mean, that would be incredible, but just the solar burn is plenty. It's absolutely ridiculous. But that extra second, I mean, I'm not going to complain. It'll make knife trick even more ridiculous on solar burn or Brawler. But it's not going to make this a PvP competitive class. So, oh well. Top tree gunslinger. They say this super has been through a lot, and boy, is that true. It has been through a lot of ups and downs. So the damage fall off is being moved from 20 meters out to 25 meters. Certainly will make it more appealing. It's one of those where it very often does take two shots to kill, which in many cases is very not good. But in the right scenario or in skilled hands, six shooters pretty strong in terms of being able to drop a team. So it's a high risk, high reward choice. I don't know. I mean, I'm not mad about it getting a few extra meters at all. I don't know if it'll make me use it over Deadshot, but to be honest, I don't really use Gunslinger almost ever. It probably will make it slightly less annoying if I happen to use it in PvE. Occasionally I'll run six shooter and strikes because it is fun to just waste like a crap ton of enemies with a golden gun, but I don't know. I don't feel like it's going to have that big an impact.
It's a quality of life change, right? Like the people who are already using it are going to appreciate this. It makes them feel a little bit better. Personally, six shooter really annoys me in PvP. Like it is, I've said this about a bunch of supers, right? But I hate spammy supers, right? Like spammy supers annoy me. I don't like that you can spam spectral blades. I don't like that you can spam bottom tree striker. I don't like that you can spam six shooter. Like I don't like spammy supers. I feel like it's a like the ultimate like low skill thing. When I hear someone pop six shooter and I hear them shoot like 25 shots off, it just like boils my blood, right? So personally, I wish they would get rid of that stupid ass, like, you get a refund every time you kill someone and you can just like burn them, because that annoys me. But I will say the range nerf was pretty startling.
It was pretty brutal.
What the heck is going on? Because it was here and then like they said it was gone and then it was back again. So, I mean, good for them that they get a little bit of a buff. I would, you know, it top tree gunslinger is absolutely not broken. It's not busted in the soup and the crucible at all. But it does just really freaking annoy me to hear it pop, 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 pop. And like someone ran around the corner today and missed me 4 times and then killed me. And I was like, dude, I was like, oh my God. I was like, how? Ah, it's just frustrating. But anyways, you know, just a quality of life change. Arcstrider, on the other hand, is getting quite a number of changes. Actually, it is. Kind of interesting to me.
It is. It's
across at least the first ones, the Arcstaff ones, are kind of across the board. And I was not thinking that Arcstrider was really very weak. I've seen a lot of Arcstriders playing pretty well in PvP. So they extended the passive super duration by 4 seconds, which is pretty substantial. It's a 25% buff, 16 seconds to 20 seconds. And they increased the heavy slam detonation radius from 5 to 6 meters. Again, radius, right? So it's a 2 meter buff on the diameter. And then they increased the damage versus PvE combats by 33%. Definitely agree with that last one. The two above, I think Arcstrider may end up being meta up here. Because it already was pretty strong. And then in addition to that, if you're a top tree Arcstrider, deadly reach now goes from 8 to 10 seconds. And if you're a middle tree Arcstrider, lightning weave will now trigger anytime you deal damage with Tempest Strike, and the timer is extended by dealing damage with any weapon, right? So I kind of have a sneaking suspicion that this upcoming season, if nothing else dramatic changes, I think Arcstriders are going to have a good time. These aren't huge changes, but it was already a good subclass, and these are definite buffs.
They are. Lightning Weave, just for anyone who's not familiar, is melee hits greatly increase weapon reload speed. And then Tempest Strike is the sliding uppercut for that middle tree Arcstrider, which I always was a big fan of. I like Tempest Strike. I think it's a cool ability. It felt like, as a hunter, it felt like I finally got the shoulder charge while still playing hunter, even if it wasn't a one-hit kill. And, I mean, but a lot of times, you know, you catch somebody with any real damage on them, and it is a one-hit kill. So it's good. It's a cool, yeah. It's a cool combo. And I'm glad to see it getting a little bit of a buff. Lightning Weave really should have worked with Tempest Strike from the beginning.
Yeah.
So.
And Deadly Reach on the top tree is when you dodge, you get a extended melee range.
Right? Yes.
And it now lasts 10 seconds, which is pretty impressive. I think once you hit a melee, though, it goes away. So, I mean, that's pretty good. Both those things are pretty good combined with the buff to the super. You know, if I weren't so locked into Revenant right now, just because Shatter Dive is the ultimate best thing ever and I love it, and I'm incredibly concerned it's going to get nerfed, which would suck because I've ridden it through so many nerfs and I really don't want to get nerfed again. But if I weren't... I think Arcstrider is going to be good.
Well, you know, I'm hopeful actually that Shatter Dive won't get nerfed. We'll talk about why when we get to the Warlocks, because there's a change there that sort of follows in the footsteps of Shatter Dive. So I think maybe they finally feel okay about it. But anyway, before we get to that, Spectral Blades is getting the change that I believe you, loudest of all, have been saying it should have had for the last... when did Spectral Blades come out?
Forever ago.
Yeah.
Forsaken?
Yeah, Forsaken. So. Since Forsaken. So the damage reduction from the super is being reduced from 52% to 47%, and the extra damage reduction when invisible is going from +5 to +3%, so that it will never have damage reduction of greater than 50%.
Hallelujah, man. Hallelujah. This is a great change. Great change. I'm so happy. And it is such a strong subclass anyways that this 100% feels warranted to me. I'm really, really happy that they're making this. I love that they're dropping the roaming super down to 50% or lower. That's really where it should be.
Yep. Yep, that will definitely reward those people who, speaking of movement games, who have mastered their movement game, in order to avoid lines of sight while closing, and it will punish people who choose to charge across wide open killing fields. So I think that's fair. It'll still be a very strong super.
Honestly, looking back, reviewing the hunter changes again, man, I feel like they're two for two. I don't really disagree with any of the changes that they've done at all. The one that I would kind of be like iffy on was the top tree gunslinger, but you know, that's because of my personal hatred for it, not because it didn't actually need the help. I think it did. I mean, I can't find a change in here that even if I'm like, I'm not sure it was needed. At the same time, I still feel like they're good changes. None right now, with the exception of Top Tree Dawn and Behemoth Titans in Trials, right? There's not really a subclass which like stands far above and beyond. I feel like they're all pretty darn close to each other. And I feel like these changes are all trending in the right direction, right? Like Spectral Blades did need a little bit of a tone down. The Gunslingers maybe needed a little bit of help. Revenant, maybe the super needed a little bit. I mean, Arc Strider, I think is going to be good. I like all these across the board. I actually like these, I think, more than I like the Titan ones.
I would agree with that. I will say I'm not a huge fan of increasing the duration of roaming supers. I think almost every roaming super in the game lasts too long for my personal taste. This is just me on my soapbox. I think roaming supers should last less long. I think supers should have less influence on the Crucible than they do. I think you should be, looking at like a max of like, an 3 kills, unless you happen to have a one shot and the entire team is standing together on a point and you get all of them, and then good for you, because that's never going to happen again. And if it is, then I want to play against the people you're playing against. But, I feel like the roaming supers, like being able to take out a team and then kill, being able to get a seventh column in a super, just, I don't feel like it should be possible. I think it should not be possible because it feels incredibly unfair to the people that you are playing against. Not that it's not maybe, certainly to get a seventh column in any way, you have to have some skill. Absolutely. But some supers at certain points have been so strong that somebody who is pretty good at the game can go out and just do massive, massive damage to a team and then leave a bunch of orbs so that their friends can just pile on. And that's no fun. It's maybe fun for those people, but it's not skillful, and it's very unfun for the other people. I'd rather see roaming supers come down in duration and leave that much more room for gunplay. Somebody kills me with great gunplay. Like earlier today, somebody slide headshotted me with an Uzumi from like 15 meters away. And I was just like, okay, I will be aware of you from now on. He got me again a couple of times, but point is, I respected that. If somebody kills me twice with a super because I spawned and they were just camping my spawn with their super, I don't respect that. That's just like the game fucking me over. So
that's a fair soapbox to get up on. I feel like we've had our discussions before about both of our strong distaste for the state of roaming supers. So I feel like that's a very fair soapbox to get up on, especially considering Arc Strider just, got this. I will say,
and bottom tree strikers getting that buff has me concerned, because bottom tree strikers were among the most egregious durations.
Is this going to be the season of Arc subclasses? When we read the Warlocks, there's some stuff going on with Warlocks too. Yeah. Warlocks got more than anything else. Warlocks got a thick batch of updates coming in. Some nerfs, some buffs. We'll talk about that just one more second. But yeah, I mean, it is something to be a tiny bit concerned about. I think the reason why Arc Strider hasn't really been frustratingly annoying for so long is because Spectral was really the better super. Spectral had the more effective neutral game with, especially paired with like Chaperone and stuff like that, where you basically get wall hacks. The melee of Spectral is more useful, right? So the stuff that they've done to Arkstrider outside of the super, which, you know, a super comes 2 to 3 times a game, maybe once if it's trials. The stuff that they've done to it are deadly reach lasting 2 more seconds. You're never going to notice when another person has that up for the extra 2 seconds, right? Like, that's not a change that you're going to be frustrated by as an opponent. I think we talked about this last episode where we said there are things that you can do in the game that are not net zero, right? Like, you can increase someone's enjoyment of the game without decreasing someone else's enjoyment. And you can decrease someone's enjoyment of the game without increasing someone else's enjoyment. Flinch is one of those things. Bloom is one of those things. It's bad. Changes like this, like dealing damage with Tempest Strike and triggering Lightning Weave, like, you're never going to notice as an opponent that they've got Lightning Weave up, right? But you're sure as hell going to notice it when you're playing.
Yeah.
And like, that's a positive change. And the thing with Night Stalker is like, you can tell when they use their abilities, right? You can tell when they've procced wall hacks because they kill you the second you run around a corner with a Chaperone, right? Or you can tell when they go invisible because you can hear it. There's an audio cue, right? So it makes those things so much more frustrating because then as an opponent, you know when they're using them. Whereas like Arkstrider, you're never going to know when they have any of these abilities up. So it's kind of great, right? Like, it's kind of a pretty brilliant way to buff things without necessarily causing much assault on the opposing side of that buff.
That's a really fair point. Yeah, Arkstrider, I think, aside from double skip grenades, is much less annoying to play against than a lot of other subclasses.
And double skip grenades, you have to put some investment in that.
Yeah.
You know, you have to run Shinobu's Vow.
Yep, that's true.
You know, there's your exotic gone. That means you can't run, why am I blanking on the name of this?
You can't do Stompies.
Stompies.
Frosties.
Dragon Shadow.
Dragon Shadow is phenomenal on Arkstrider because you can dodge almost constantly in certain situations.
What's the other one? Wraithmail or whatever it is? That's
the Dragon Shadow.
Oh, that's perk. The exotic perk.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. You can't run a bunch of the other exotics that are so incredibly popular on Hunters. But anyways, I think we probably need to come down to Warlocks now because Warlocks is the longest one by far. I mean, holy crap. Warlock, it just feels like almost everything got touched. They start at the top with Shadebinder. They basically say that Winter's Wrath is one of the best dueling supers in the game, and which is true because it freaking seemingly was one-shotting everything. So they reduced the Shatter Pulse damage only versus close-range supers to give them a little bit more of a chance. So now you have to freeze and shatter twice to kill Burning Maul, Fist of Havoc, Sentinel Shield, Nova Warp, Arc Staff, Spectral Blades, Glacial Quake. The Weakling still only requires one shatter to defeat. That's going to be, you know, that's going to make it a lot harder for a Winter's Wrath to kill any of those supers because it is not a fast process to cast the freeze them, shatter. Now, I think they'll be able to do it because, of course, the opponent is frozen. But, you know, when you're in super, you break out of freeze really quick. So I think that Winter's Wrath users are going to have to be a lot smarter about the way they engage other supers, whereas right now it's pretty much a win button if they have their super up. So I personally, I'm in favor of that change.
I would agree. I think it's entirely fair for ranged supers, especially if they have several opportunities to use their ability. To require 2 hits. You know, this is something that I was less happy about on Gunslinger a long time ago when there was only a 3-shot option. And so Gunslinger was always capped at 3 kills. It didn't over-penetrate. It didn't do anything to give you any opportunity to get extra kills. But it still required 2 shots to kill any other super. So that felt unfair in that situation, but Winter's Wrath can throw quite a bit of ice. And it can do it in midair, while floofing about. So it has some advantages that I think make this probably fair. Plus it's fantastic at taking out groups. You catch people grouped. It's just like, free points. So I feel like this is a pretty different scenario that I'm totally comfortable with him making this change.
Yeah. And then I'm kind of surprised they buried the lead here and they didn't talk about Toptree Dawn first. But Toptree Dawn is the most dominant. It is the one subclass right now that is just absolutely dominant in PvP. It's really not even close to anything else. And they're taking a scalpel to it. I wouldn't say a hammer, but they're taking a scalpel to it. So Celestial Fire, which is that super long range melee that they have, that's probably the best melee in the game, or at least it was. They've reduced the tracking cone angle, so you got to be more accurate. The proximity detonation now shrinks over time, so the further away someone is, the less proximity debt you're going to get on it, which is great. They also reduce the detonation size just by 1 meter flat out. And then they also increase damage fall off at short distances. So Celestial Fire definitely is still going to be useful, but it's going to be a lot less useful than it was before, at least a lot less easy to use. A lot less tracking, a lot less detonation size, worse proximity detonation, damage fall off now. I mean, I think it's going to be a much better priming tool and a much worse, like, I'm going to do a shit ton of damage to you far away tool, which is kind of what it is right now.
You know, as somebody who's been throwing melees for a long time that largely do very little damage, or if they do require a critical hit to do that damage, I feel like this is pretty fair. Celestial Fire was like I mean, it was just an encounter ender, right? You'd shoot somebody and you'd throw it, or you'd throw it and then you'd shoot them. And by the time it got to them, they were ready to be killed by it. So it was just, I wouldn't say it was a win button. It wasn't zero skill by any means, but it was very, very strong. And it's a melee that you can get back fairly quickly. So for it to be very strong and also available quite frequently, I don't know why they didn't think that was too much to begin with. But I think I was fooled by the initial complexity of Toptree when it first came out. And it turned out to be much stronger than I expected. So maybe Bungie was fooled originally as well. I don't know.
Well, I think Kevin Yanez knew when he was talking about On Fire Ranch. He was like, yeah, he's like, this is a pretty good melee. Like, we made this pretty good. It's a do it all melee, right? Like, it had almost no weaknesses. It had almost no downside other than the cast time and the travel time. But I think these are good changes. I think it's still going to be useful. I don't think it got the Withering Blade treatment.
No.
By any stretch of the imagination.
No.
I think it probably got more of like the Shadebinder melee treatment. Where the Shadebinder melee is relatively weak now in comparison to its original iteration, but it's still quite useful when used correctly, right? Like it is absolutely a great tool when used correctly. It's just a lot more limited in its use as opposed to being a jack of all trades that's excellent at all of them.
And the Shadebinder melee got a proxy buff from the change to melee activation. Now it's going to be, I think, much stronger than it was before that change, now that you can control the activation to it.
Right. And then there's one more big nerf that I know the sweats are quite upset about, but Icarus Dash, it now provides only one air dodge every 4 seconds, as opposed to, I believe it was two every 5 seconds. Was what it was, but you can get back to two every 5 seconds if you use Heat Rises, right? Heat Rises is that wonderful, wonderful perk where you consume your grenade and you can float in the air and it gives you in-air accuracy, right? Great, super, super strong utilitarian option for Toptree Dawns. Now they can use that and you can then dodge 6 times during that 15 seconds, right? You get 2 dodges every 5 seconds, plus they increase the amount of time that you get extended when you get kills in the air with Heat Rises, right? So those are two buffs. Heat Rises goes from 10 seconds to 15 seconds. You get extra time back when you get in-air kills while it's active. You get your normal Icarus Dash dodges while you're in Heat Rises. Heat Rises is now, like, it was already strong. Now it's like the way to play a top tree dawn, which is good because I felt like that's the way it should have been played. And then Icarus Dash, when you're not in Heat Rises, is just one dodge, which is great because the two dodges was, it was a lot. In my opinion, it was too much. I think a lot of people outside of Top Tree Dawn probably agree with that. I really like this change. This might actually be one of my favorite changes they've made.
I'm gonna take the unpopular stance and say that Icarus Dash should not be allowed to be activated that often. This doesn't even really feel like a nerf to me. This feels, the Celestial Fires is definitely a nerf, but the combination of the change to Icarus Dash and Heat Rises feels like a net buff. I think it will net be stronger than it was before, except for people who were just skipping the Heat Rises part and trying to take advantage of their multiple Icarus Dashes.
But that was a lot of people, though, especially in like the Sweat community. People, you know, Heat Rises is, you have to have really good game sense to use Heat Rise as well.
I'm going to go out on a limb, you know, and just say, fuck those people. excuse me. Yeah. I don't care. I think Icarus Dash is a fantastically strong ability. And I think if it was just once every 4 seconds, I mean, that's faster than my Hunter Dodge recharges already. I think that's plenty of dodging. I think that honestly, Top Tree Dawnblade is for people who were really good at using it already, is not meaningfully weaker now. I think perhaps they will be somewhat more counterable because they won't have Celestial Fire. But a good Top Tree Dawn player, I mean, people who are floating in midair, they add this whole new plane that you have to be aware of. And it's pretty much now, just Top Tree Dawn.
Now they will. You do now appear on enemy radar when you use Heat Rises, right? So that is the one consolation they gave back. They said, you know, obviously, because the people who had great game sense were using, you know, Heat Rises to get into some weird places, right?
Yeah.
And if they were far enough away, you had absolutely no idea that they were there and they would just snipe you or kill you immediately. And there's nothing you can do about it. So now you do show up on the radar when you use it. I think that's fair. I think that's entirely fair. I think Top Tree Dawn is still going to be very good.
Yeah.
Icarus Dash is still one of the strongest neutral game abilities or movement abilities in the game. The cooldown is not very long. 4 seconds. You're right. It's not very long.
It's very short. You don't need to. It's still too strong.
I think Top Tree Dawn is still going to be very strong. I think it's going to be up there with Arc Strider potentially for the strongest subclasses and maybe Bottom Tree Striker. But then out of nowhere, Middle Tree Dawnblade getting some buffs too. I'm actually really happy. Middle Tree Dawnblade is my preferred subclass in PvP for Warlock. So I'm probably the only one who likes that, but I love using it with Ariana's Vow and one tapping with the Empowering Rifts and the Well of Radiance and everything. So this is actually huge for me. The Well of Radiance itself, increased damage taken from bosses to from 0.25 to 1.5. I believe that this is just like the Ward of Dawn change, right? Where it is the sword that is taking the damage,
right?
Then not the players.
The note there says that this refers to the well itself and not players inside the well.
Right. And then just like with the Titans, you can increase that, or I guess decrease that damage multiplier back down to its original stat with your resilience stat, if you choose. That'll be a little bit harder for Warlocks to do than it will be for Titans, but I think that's a good change because really, Well of Radiance and Ward of Dawn were just like, what else did you need in PvE? So I'm pretty happy about that. But then in PvP, the damage resistance buff, it's now 40%. Damage resistance. It was only 20%, which is really not a lot. Like, you had no issues killing players inside of a Well of Radiance, really. Now it's 40%. That's significantly higher. That's almost super damage resistance on some of these roaming supers. And they're immune to stasis, freeze, and slow, which is freaking fantastic. Now, the sword itself can be, but it takes a little bit of time. So, you know, it's not necessarily the ease of the armor. I am tremendously happy with that. Like, really, really happy. That, to me, that's great.
I think that's a pretty fair change. This is something that, in theory, plays similarly to Bubble, The caveat being you don't get complete protection, but you can shoot from anywhere inside the well. So I think this feels pretty fair in terms of making attacking somebody who is standing in a well something that you need to really strongly consider not doing. 40% is very near roaming super damage reduction. So it's, you know, like you don't want to just willy-nilly be jumping in there with your shotgun, because it will not end well.
Yeah. And in addition to that, they also got a buff to Guiding Flame. So Guiding Flame is a melee that inflicts a burn on the enemy. But when you do burn the enemy, you get, currently you get a 7-second buff that empowers you with a 20% damage buff and any nearby allies. And it's not even nearby, like it's pretty far away that they can be. I think it's like 20-something meters that they can be. But now it lasts 10 seconds. It's a 25% damage buff.
That's super strong. That is huge.
That is huge.
That's really good.
I mean, to me personally, I'm like looking at Well of Radiance and this Guiding Flame change, and I'm like licking my chops because I already really loved Middle Tree Dawnblade. And now I'm like, oh man, you just made me dangerously powerful with this. I know nobody loves using this in PvP, but this is absolutely my sleeper hit of these balance patch changes so far.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I think more people will be convinced to give Well of Radiance in PvP a try. Especially the increase to damage resistance makes this really strong for locking down a control point or a choke point on a map. Anyone who challenges you is at a huge disadvantage. If you're on your game at all, you can't lose. So it's going to be real good. And then the melee buff is just icing on the cake. So yeah, definitely makes me consider that this might be something to think about on the Warlock side of things.
And then not to be left out, Bottom Tree Dawnblade got a couple buffs as well. So Phoenix Dive, which is long been considered a little bit useless, is getting the Icarus Dash, or not Icarus Dash, sorry, getting the Shatter Dive treatment.
Yep.
And you can now input a direction to dive in the direction, so you don't just have to dive straight down, which is super nice because you can use it as a movement ability now. And also they reduce the delay before the dive starts. So I really kind of wish they had made the recovery on landing a little bit more effective than it is right now. But hey, I'll take it. I like Phoenix Dive. I think it's a super useful tool, more so now. Also, Igniting Touch. It used to be that only your melee would kill someone if they died from the burn. Now it's killing a burning target in any way will cause them to explode and burn other nearby enemies who, if they die, will also explode, and thus the chain continues. I think that is a good change. I don't think it's going to see a ton of use compared to the other two nodes. I think Top Tree and Middle Tree are still going to be more popular. Well, I don't know about Middle Tree. Top Tree is still going to be more popular. I personally will still use Middle Tree more. I don't think Phoenix Dive and Igniting Touch are enough to get me over there. But again, just like with some of the Hunter changes, just like with some of the Titan changes, this is a quality of life update. So the people who are playing this are going to have a better experience playing it.
Yeah, I think especially in PvE, this makes Bottom Tree Dawnblade much more appealing if you are looking to do some ad clear with your Solar subclass. Igniting Touch should be much stronger now. I mean, that could kill a room, because that's going to trigger on grenades, right? Mm-hmm. Solar grenade explodes, kills some enemies, catches some other enemies on fire. They burn down, they explode. I mean, yeah, I don't know if it's optimal, but it's definitely going to be fun.
Yeah, that's 100% the best way to describe it. And then, moving on to Stormcaller. So Chaos Reach getting a bit of a nerf. Thank goodness, it really needed it. Probably not the nerf that everybody wanted, which is Geomag stabilizers. But basically, they have increased the beam environment collision size to better match the collision size with the damage size. Because right now, everybody has the issue of like they're behind a wall and the beam just murders you through a wall, which is super freaking annoying. Then they reduced the beam damage radius by 20%. And they reduce the beam endpoint sphere radius by 33%. So you're going to have to be a lot more accurate with the beam now, as opposed to in the current Crucible, you can kind of just point in the general direction and wipe the floor with people, regardless of whether they're behind cover or not, which is super frustrating. So I'm really happy about this change. I actually think it could probably do with a little bit more of a nerf, specifically because of the interaction with the GMAG stabilizer is exotic. But I think this might be good enough to hold us over a little bit. I think people are still going to use it, but it will be less frustrating to play against while they're using it.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty fair. I think we are definitely going to see some people move off of Chaos Reach. Some people maybe who are going to find it a little bit harder to actually hit a target now, when you can't just point your finger of death and just kind of wave it around.
God forbid you have to aim in Destiny. Yeah. Man. Jeez. People will do anything they can to avoid that.
It's not an aiming game. Oh, wait.
Yeah. Only the best aiming game in shooters right now, really, in terms of how it feels. So
speaking of not aiming, let's talk about Bottom Tree Stormcaller. So I guess general feedback and data indicated that Bottom Tree Stormcaller was not a super winning choice in PvP, and probably not that popular in PvE either. So Arc Soul is now going to last a little bit longer and shoot a little bit faster. That's increasing the duration from 12 seconds to 13 seconds, so really just a little bit longer. But the fire rate is going up by 10%, which does feel a little more meaningful. You've also got Electrostatic Surge, so your sprint speed will be increased when allies are near. And Electrostatic Surge, normally what it does, or base what it does, is your rift lasts longer and your rift charges faster when allies are near. So now your rift charges faster and also you run faster, which, not a bad thing.
That's big. Yeah. That's really big. Honestly, I think that this second sleeper here, I think people are a little bit underestimating how much these changes together are going to work. And we'll get to the super one in a second. But picture this for me, right? You, Arc Soul, increase fire rate by 10%, last 1 second longer, getaway artist, supercharger Arc Soul. No time to explain, get your other gunshot buddy. I'm thinking you could do some legitimate ridiculous damage with both of those things up at the same time. Like a stupid, stupid amount of damage. And you get faster sprint speed when allies are near, and your rift is faster, and you can stand an empowering rift. I mean, I'm not concerned because nobody really likes Stormcaller a ton, but I am already thinking about builds in my head where I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be fun. Like, these changes are, I think, kind of the rare changes from this balance patch that are enough to where I'm like, I'm going to be playing a new subclass when this comes out. And it's going to be for this reason. Then they talk about Landfall, where Landfall, they were like, oh, it was a little bit underwhelming. It's increased the spectacle. And now fires 5 arc projectiles across the ground in all directions. So basically, if you cast a super in the middle of the room, it will electrocute everything around you. I'm interested to see how much damage those do. If they are one hit kills, then it's basically like having a Fist of Havoc before you get to fly around and shock people to death. So, maybe it just like electrocutes them and does some damage and doesn't kill them. Maybe it kills them entirely. But I'm like really excited to try this subclass out after the changes.
I think Landfall, what it's going to be at this point is it's going to be a much more consistently effective panic button. That's what Landfall was for the Crucible already, was a panic button. For PvE, it's let's clear the adds here and then let's go into the next room and clear all of the adds there as well. But this is going to make it much more effective. I think you're going to see a lot more consistent kills off of Landfall by itself. So yeah, this is certainly not a buff to sleep on. If you like Stormcaller, this has got to get your attention.
And then last but certainly not least, Middle Tree Voidwalker.
Poor
Nova Warp down there. Just been long lost and forgotten in the realm of Destiny 2, is getting a buff. increasing the damage versus PvE combatants by 73%. That is huge. No longer slows your movement speed down when you're charging or charge. That's also pretty big.
That's,
and now detonates right on cast, so you get a little bit of a panic. Plus,
very
handheld supernova, damage versus PvE combatants is getting doubled, and they increase the hold time by a little more than a half second, so 2.5 seconds to 3.2 seconds. Those are good changes, I think. Handheld supernova has kind of been like a laughing stock for a little bit, and Nova Warp in general has just been probably the most maligned subclass in existence. So I'm happy to see it getting a little bit of love. I don't think I did think that they were funny, that they were like, buffing Nova Warp is dangerous. We really need to make sure that we don't overdo it, which is true. But I think these are pretty good changes to it. I mean, I might end up eating my words. I might be like, oh my God, I fucking hate these Nova Warps. But I think these are pretty good changes.
Yeah, we'll definitely see. I still have a little trauma from when Nova Warp first launched, man.
Do you remember it? It was horrifying.
It was awful.
Being chased down by a Nova Warp was like one of the worst experiences in Destiny 2.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible. So, and then they nerfed it, and then it really was pretty terrible. But I think this is probably going to be fine. I'm a little, I'm not sure that the detonate on cast was necessary. I like when a roaming super forces you to activate it from a position of strength. So I feel like making it into a panic button makes it stronger than it needs to be. Honestly, I'd love to see Striker activate and not slam immediately. I think that would be a change that I'd be very open to. I think roaming super should activate from a position of safety, right? Like, I think you should be strategic about it. I don't think it should be a get out of jail free card and then also go kill everyone. Like, go on a murder spree after escaping from jail. I think that's bad. I think that's a thing we shouldn't encourage. But what do I know? Clearly, Bungie strongly disagrees because they are all about buffing the panic buttons in this patch.
Yep.
So, you know,
yeah.
I will adapt.
One downside.
I will adapt.
There are some roaming supers that definitely got a bit stronger. There are a couple that got nerfed. You know, it is what it is. I think it's probably even.
You know what? I'm starting to get the message here. I think Bungie wants people to stop playing shotgun so much.
Yeah. I mean,
I feel like that's the message I'm taking away from all of the changes that have been happening lately. And then all of these panic supers. I mean, nothing hard counters a shotgun like activating your super right before they pull the trigger and killing them.
No, it definitely is a lot harder to play up close and in someone's face with a shotgun now, especially after the slide changes. So, you know, what comes through in this is that, number one, I'm really a huge fan of almost all of the subclass changes. The Warlocks in particular, I'm just really, really excited about the changes to Well of Radiance and Bottom Tree Stormcaller. Just absolutely thrilled to my toenails about that. I'm happy with a lot of the changes to Hunter. I'm happy with a lot of the changes to Titan, except for the buff to Bottom Tree Striker. I mean, I'm thinking coming in here, like, I think Top Tree Dawn's still going to be good. I think Bottom Tree Striker is going to be good. I think Arc Strider is going to be good. It's hard to call Top Tree Dawn a winner coming out of this, but I think it's still going to be very good at the end of this. I'm liking it a lot. Really, it's just so head scratching to me that they threw the slide nerfs in here with all these other really great, freaking fantastic changes. I think if they hadn't included the slide nerfs, or they literally put out a message tomorrow and they were like, just kidding, we're taking away the stability and flinch penalties from sliding, I think people would be cheering. This is potentially one of the best subclass balance patches to come through, I think, ever. And they touched on so much. It wasn't big changes to a lot, but they touched on so much. Just even, do you know how much it matters to people when their mostly forgotten subclass gets just a little quality of life buff or two in a patch? It makes you feel like you're being paid attention. It's the exact opposite of how PvP players feel. But, you know, this helps. Doing good subclass tuning, doing good weapon tuning, like, although we'd much rather have new maps and no modes, that can help for PvP. changing the meta can help for PvP. I'm hoping that this, combined with the trials changes and hopefully some other weapon changes that we're getting, I'm hoping that this kind of brings us into a new era where it's like, yeah, we didn't get a new map, we didn't get a new mode, but things are looking up for PvP in Season 15.
I will say, for all of my griping about some very specific aspects, I think this is by and large a super, super strong balance patch. And I think in order for me to be completely happy, they would have to do a lot of nerfing of a lot of subclasses. So I think probably what's going to result here is that by and large, subclasses will be more balanced than they were prior to this change. With, I mean, really the only one that feels like it's going to be left in the dust is probably Blade Barrage. And maybe Nova Bomb as well. The other, the non-stasis one-shots are going to, I think, feel pretty meh. In comparison to all of the other options on the table. But by and large, I think the rest of the subclasses are going to feel better than they ever have in terms of balance. So
I'd agree with that.
I think it's going to be a very fair playing field.
I think what it signifies is that they have found where they want the bar to be.
Yes.
And the subclasses are, for the most part right now, aligned on either side of it. I don't think there are any high to the top side outliers now that Top Tree Dawn is coming down. There are some that are still on the low side outliers, like you mentioned, but I think that they found the bar. And I believe with weapons, I could be wrong, but I believe with weapons, they've found the bar there too. Is it where I want the bar to be? Is it where the community wants the bar to be? Probably no, probably not necessarily, but I think it's where they want the bar to be. Because if you look at the weapons that are the strongest right now, outside of fucking Chaperone, which Chaperone is its own thing and like definitely needs, you know, to be a touch, like Ace of Spades.
I have seen a lot of Chaperone lately.
Yeah. Chaperone, aim assist nerf and be done with it. Right. Like just cull that thing down. But you look at the primaries, right? Like Ace of Spades, super, super strong. Palindrome, super, super strong. What are you going to do to those things? They're not broken. They're not overpowered. They're just very good guns. And I think that that's good. That's a good place to be. If that's the bar and you can build around that, I think we're in for a good run in the sandbox here in the next couple of seasons. At least I'm pretty hopeful.
Absolutely. I think what you do to those guns is you give them more competition.
Right, exactly. And that's how you decrease their usage is you bring more stuff up to that level.
Yeah.
And right now you maybe bring more stuff up to around Arc Strider level, right? To around Bottom Tree Striker level. Maybe to around Top Tree Dawn level. I kind of want to see how it plays after this after this change. Like you said, I think it's still probably going to be really strong.
Yeah, I feel like it's not going to come down that much. But I, you know, I've been wrong about Top Tree Dawn before.
Yeah. Well, all right, guys, that is it. This is a long episode. This is one of the longest episodes we've had in quite a while. 140 minutes of juicy goodness for you guys on the subclass sandbox. So thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with armor and mods. And everything from that swap as well.
All right. Peace.
Bye.